ABC News.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison says he's now open to drug testing and limiting alcohol use in Parliament House. Two Liberal backbenchers, Katie Allen and Sarah Henderson, have suggested limits on alcohol within parliamentary workplaces and even the introduction of drug testing for politicians. They say politicians are making important decisions on behalf of all of us, and the Parliament should be setting the highest possible workplace standards. Labor Senator Katie Gallagher agrees, saying it would follow measures taken by some companies in the corporate sector.
Drug and alcohol testing is a common feature of many workplaces now, across Australia, where it has become, almost standard practice for operating. So it's not as if it's an unusual thing to be asking.
Labor Senator Katie Gallagher. Nicole Lee is a professor at the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University and the CEO of the Alcohol and Other Drugs Consultancy, 360 Edge. How common is workplace drug testing in Australia? Who does what where?
Well, it's not actually as common as many people think. There are certainly organisations that do drug tests on a regular basis, but they tend to be in the high-risk industry, so people who drive heavy machinery, mining, people who use equipment that could be fatal if you weren't coordinated using it. But generally in an office environment or a kind of corporate environment, drug testing is relatively rare.
I think all Australian government-funded construction sites now require a comprehensive fitness for work policy that includes mandatory drug and alcohol testing. So in the public sphere, perhaps, but not so much in the private. What is the rationale behind it when it is done? How's it justified?
There's no question that alcohol is a problem in many workplaces. And alcohol testing to prevent injury or for safety is well established. So we know that there's a direct relationship between your blood alcohol level and risk of harm. You are intoxicated. If you have a blood alcohol reading, then you are intoxicated, and it's relatively well established. Drug testing, however, is not as well established. So if you test for illicit drugs, someone can test positive for illicit drugs without actually being intoxicated from the drugs, and therefore they're not a risk at work. But for alcohol, certainly it is. And often, in a mining site, for example, they routinely alcohol test, and if people have any reading at all, they're not allowed on the mine site, and that's a safety issue.
There are obvious privacy concerns for the workers in those workplaces. How do people strike that balance?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the arguments against drug and alcohol testing, and that's why generally the courts only allow it on the basis of safety and health and safety. So you have to show that there is a safety issue for people who may be intoxicated. But I think, just in relation to the events that have happened in the last, couple of months, we do know that most sexual harassment and bullying in the workplace occurs following alcohol use, but that doesn't necessarily happen at work. It may happen outside of work hours or at work functions or outside of the actual workplace.
It's obviously seen as having some deterrent value as well. What effect does it have? Does it achieve the desired result?
Look, it can signal some level of seriousness about addressing alcohol problems in the workplace, but it on its own, it's not enough. So the biggest mistake that workplaces make is just relying on drug testing. It needs to be, as you just mentioned, in the context of a broader fitness for work policy. Are you fit to come to work? And I would expect, and I think most employers would expect their workers not to be drunk while they're working or not to be drinking while they're working. And I think that's an absolutely reasonable expectation.
The Prime Minister says there are clearly problems with the workplace culture at Parliament that needs to be fixed and anything should be considered. He's said to be open to this possibility of alcohol limits or testing. What do you think?
Look, I think the thing is that alcohol consumption is a risk factor for committing sexual harassment and assault crimes, and also is a risk factor for experiencing sexual harassment. But because it's a risk factor and it's not a cause, it's only a small part of the problem. It's not going to fix people's attitudes to women, which is really the underlying fundamental issue.
Nicole Lee, thanks very much.
Thanks, Glenn.
CEO of the Alcohol and Other Drugs Consultancy 360 Edge and Professor at the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University.